So I come back from Zambia. I've been doing a lot of reflecting in my life. Good stuff, all good. You may be seated, Henry. I think sometimes too much of our reflection is on what we've done wrong and what we've missed and messed. But sometimes we should just remember everything good that's ever happened in our lives. Just reflect on it. One of the reasons is at last I've started to write. And today my daughter Sarah actually typed out the beginning of my first book. The first 13 pages. I'm not going to write big books. I'm going to write lots of little ones. And I've been reflecting on how God's been good to me all my life, you know. And I know that my best years are still to come. And so I want all of you to begin to think that way. Your best years are still to come. However you've messed up, however you've made mistakes, God can redeem the time. God can redeem the time. Coming back from Zambia, that 67-year-old lady that was down there, you know, she just so ministered to me. At 67, she's wanting to go to Africa since she was a teenager. And it's her first trip at 67, you know. She was such a blessing, man. I didn't know what to do with her, you know. She was just so sweet, so kind, so nice. So thankful that she was there. I'm very impressed also and very thankful for people like John, who wanted to go to, talked about John Walker there, who was wanting to go to Africa 25 years ago and or whatever it was, and eventually went last year when he was 55 years old. Of course, he went the hard way. He drove there. Most people fly, but he decided to only go halfway and drive the rest. But you know, God's been really good to us. Where has God not been good to us? I understand we've had loss, we've had pain. But the gospel is very clear that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. The first two people to nod that I noticed were to the two widows sitting in our midst. And when those widows start nodding, I was reflecting on my mother. Part of the thing I wrote that my father died when my mother was 42. And her simple explanation of never remarrying was just, couldn't find anyone to replace him. That's a pretty outstanding legacy, isn't it? You know, when you receive a legacy like that from your mother, that she never said a bad word about my father, only ever spoke about how good he was, what a great man he was. It's a great legacy. And I've been asking about fathers, because when you grow up without one, those of you that don't know, my father died when I was 7. When you grow up without a father, it's very difficult to think, well, what quality am I looking for in a father? I can ask my children what quality they're looking for in a father. What about me? You know, just because I'm as big as this and as old as I am, you think I don't need a father? Just because I'm a grandfather, I still need a father. I still need someone bigger than me to hold me, someone that I can jump off the top of the fridge and then he'll catch me. We all need fathers. And we need to understand just how much Father does love us and does care for us. And tonight, I really believe that the Lord wants me to pray for people. So I don't want to take too long, but I want to share a word because I guess that's what we do, eh? Daniel, what is an ideal father? Praise God. Well, I've been asking a few people, and I thought I'd ask a few PKs. You know what a PK is, a preacher's kid? Most underprivileged people in the kingdom. So they think. They've all got a poor me attitude. At least most of the ones I know have. Anyway, I asked the young man whose father's a pastor in town. I said, So, Mike, what are you looking? What's the number one thing your father demonstrated to you all the years he grew up in church, etc.? So he said the most important thing, he never saw his father say one thing and do another. Never. Never. That young man's nearly 30 now. So the first thing there, Daniel, is integrity. Integrity is the most essential thing a father can have. You can be a hero. You can be the world's greatest provider. You can be the tough guy. But I want to tell you something. If your children hear you say one thing and see you do another, you're cooked. Because they'll never trust words ever again. You see, we're saved by words. In our culture, we put no value in words. How do any of you know you're going to heaven? You've got no proof. If we had a judge and jury here right now and you had to stand up and prove you're going to heaven, you're done. How do you know you're going? I'll tell you how you know you're going to heaven. God said so. And we believe it. Isn't that amazing? Your father said so, and we believe it. The Bible says we're born again by the word of God. That we're born not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed by the word of God that lives and abides forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. We live in a strange country, don't we? How many lawyers do we have per capita? Too many? How many lawyers do we have? I've got nothing against lawyers. Everybody needs lawyers. But you think about it. We must have more lawyers per capita than any country in the world. Why? It can only be that as a culture, we lack integrity. As a culture, we lack integrity. And I want to encourage all of you, especially with children. I told the story many times when Alice was just a little one. I don't know how old she was, about 8 or 9. And, of course, she's always been bold, really. And got it from the neighbors, of course. And the time that we were going to, I told you, but going to Thursday afternoon was always family day. And to be honest, most of the time, it was a bit of a chore, I'll be honest, you know, because I always thought I had to entertain the kids instead of just be with them. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Kids love to be entertained, don't they? We live in an entertainment culture. And so Thursday lunchtime, I'm trying to sort of pull out of the promise of what we're going to do and where we're going to go. And I said, well, you know, it's not a nice day. It's a bit cold and windy. And my little Alice just leaned over and went, Daddy, you said. And she put her finger right there in my nose. You said. That's what she said to me. And do you know what? I never, ever broke a promise from that day to this. Because I realized how important it was for that child to trust the words of her father. You said, and that was it. I want to encourage all of you when it comes to your words. Jesus even said, let your yes be yes, your no be no. Any more from that than that is from the wicked one. You remember when he said that? Integrity is so important. I told you the story, I know recently, of that Afghani I met on the plane coming back from India. Great big, biggest Afghani I've ever seen. I didn't know they grew him that big. He was bigger than me. And he said, I know I told the story many times, but I love the story. He said, you know, in Afghanistan, if you make a deal to buy 50 goats, and the guy's going to bring them next Thursday. He said, next Thursday he'll turn up, and you won't have to count the goats. Because he gave his word. Did I ever tell you that other story about when we were in Afghanistan? I just remember this one. Wendy and I were there. I don't know if you were with me at the time, but there was this young man that we met on this trip. We were going from Kathmandu to London, and he was a Canadian, young guy, 17. And everybody knows that in these Asian places, you negotiate and you barter when you want to buy something. Well, evidently in Afghanistan, when you enter into bartering, if you agree, that's it. Well, he didn't know that, this young Canadian kid. So he's in a store, And they've got a lot of lapis, was it? Lapis lazuli, anybody heard of that? That stone, very semi-precious stone, beautiful stuff. So he liked lapis, and he was... Anyway, so this guy wanted, let me say, $50 for this lapis, you know. And Hugh, being sort of full of himself, said, yeah, I'll give you 15, you know, really like, boom. And anyway, so I went on and on and on and on, till in the end, the Afghani said, okay, 15. And then the young Canadian went, no, I don't think I like it. Well, that is not acceptable, because he gave his word that he would give 15 for that. That's when the Afghani picked up a big stick and chased this young Canadian, not just out of his store, but all the way down the street, because he was determined to get this kid because he'd broken his word. Now, I want to explain that to you. In a country that's 99.9% Muslim, I think we need to start thinking about our words. Integrity. You want to be a good father? You want to be a good believer? Then integrity. So an ideal, the next one, D, determined. You might have heard when I was praying, please, if you get a chance to do your reading program this week, and read Psalm 139 that I put on there. And it's such an awesome psalm. Please read it all. I want to read a little bit of it now. Psalm 139. I don't know if you want to turn there. I'm reading, as usual, from the New King James Bible. And it says this. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Are you with me? For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot obtain it. Verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and light are both alike to you. For you have formed me in my inward parts. You have covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I wanted to read that because the determination of God to be a blessing to you. He is so determined that after the all of the patriarchs and the law and the prophets, after all that, man still failed. So in the end, what choice did he have but come himself in the form of his son Jesus and lay down his life and be crucified, because he was determined to give you and I eternal life. And I want to really encourage you to think about this, because it's a very important thing. How determined are you about your children? How determined are you about the things of life? I'm not talking about spoiling them. I'm talking about determined when you see them going in the wrong direction, when you see them absolutely defying the things of God, yet still allow your heart to love them unconditionally. It's a very difficult thing. But I want to encourage each and every one of you. That's what a loving father does. And so the next one of an ideal father, I just mentioned the fact that he is eternally in love with you. Hebrews 13:5, it just simply says, although it's quoting the Old Testament two or three times, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that an awesome thing? He will eternally be with you. Now, I want to encourage you, how many times do you feel alone? How many times in a week do you feel alone? Or in a day, you feel alone. You feel that nobody loves you, nobody cares, that everything that's going wrong. This week, my family, nothing to do with my family, I had nothing but bad reports from different people. A lot of pressure going on a lot of people. And at those times, how do you feel like you're on your own? But your eternal Father will never leave you or forsake you. And that's something that I know our children, Wendy and I, they're always thankful to know that we're there for them. You know what I'm saying? We're there for them. We try not to come at them when they do something stupid with a nag. Sometimes you can't help it because you get a bit ticked off. But I want to encourage you, each and every one of us, we've got to keep that eternal reality of knowing that our Father loves us. Therefore, with the love that we are loved, we can love other people. I'd like to remind you, love is a spirit, not an emotion. Let me say that again. Love is a spirit, not an emotion. Sure, your emotions get involved, but the reality is, you see, if you love people with your emotions can get strung out. But if you love people with your spirit actually is limitless. So therefore, try and learn to love people with your spirit. One of the reasons I've found in my life why saying goodbye to people is easy. Like, I take my mum to the airport, right? She's nearly 93 years old. And she's in the wheelchair and little Indian ladies pushing her around. And we took time and we sat and we prayed for her in the cafe at the airport. And it was a very beautiful time. My mum was just sitting there holding our hands. And my wife began to cry and as we were praying for her, you know. And in the end, I thought, well, there you go, mother. See ya. Shalom, as I always say. If you've ever got an email from me, you know that's the most common word I use. The reason is, shalom, you don't know whether you're coming or going when you use that word. They say shalom for hello. They say shalom for goodbye, and that's the way I am. I know it sounds a bit callous, but the point is, I love my mother with my spirit, as well as being able to hug her neck. And therefore, when it's time for her to go back to England, well, there she goes. And I want to encourage you, it really does help when you learn to use your spirit to love people instead of your emotions, because your emotions get worn out. You can always tell when you're in the flesh is when your emotions are worn out. When you're in the spirit, they're endless. So, ideal. What have we got for A there, young Daniel? Able. I like that word. You know, I was thinking of the book of Galatians where it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Did you all hear that? Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But the verse I want to draw your attention to is 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Now, some of you weren't listening. You're watching the boys come in and out. So let me say it again. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. What part of that don't you understand? And this is one of the things that's so limiting to people, is they don't realize God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you, having all sufficiency, in other words, more than enoughness, there he goes again, and there goes your heads again. More than enoughness, that you will have more than enough, may abound unto every good work. This is why his grace is sufficient for us. And God is able to make it come your way. And do you know what? How few Christians actually believe that? We actually don't believe God is able, because we're just doing it still in our own strength, our own emotions, our own will get strung out and we get hurt. So I want to encourage you to keep looking into his grace. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him who's called you by glory and virtue. So continue to realize that God is able. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that's a good one to memorize. I think I memorized that. And the last one, he's a loving father. He's a loving father. And to be honest, you know, you've heard me talk before about the book of Malachi or Malachi or Malachi, depending where you're from. But the prophet said this. You know, it's the last thing in the Old Testament. It said, God is going to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children back to the fathers, lest I strike the earth with a curse. You remember that? Well, what's the biggest problem in our problem? We discuss this a lot in this church. Absentee fathers. Absentee fathers. You've heard me talk about the number one problem with abortion. Isn't the women don't want the baby. It's the absentee fathers that abandon the woman that give her little or no choice. Did everybody hear that? So therefore, if there's a curse on our country, which I don't think there is, then it would be the curse of absentee fathers. Fathers who don't take responsibility. Fathers who quit. Fathers who aren't fathers. They're just seed donors. And then, at best, they decide they want to be a dad. Well, like I said earlier, you know, dads are okay. They can entertain the kids for a little while. But I want to tell you something. And if there's anything important I really want to say tonight is children don't really need to be entertained by their fathers. They have enough elsewhere. Can I say that again slowly? Children don't need to be entertained by their fathers. They need to be fathered. Let somebody else entertainment. Let somebody else do that stuff. Sure, you've got to be the dad. Sure, you've got to go out there and push them on the swings and teach them how to play games and teach them this, teach them that. But it's more important to train up a child in the way they should go, to be their father. To be there, to help raise them in discipline. It was one of the things that I was slacking myself. I don't regret it now because the blood of Jesus has cleansed my conscience. But I do want to encourage you to think about this. Don't just be a dad. Be a father. Be a father to your children. Be the disciplinarian to your children. Don't let your wife do it. Anybody listening? Don't let your wife do it. The Bible says the glory of children is their father, not their mother. Mothers can't discipline, especially boys. I've never met a boy in my life that hasn't found mother's discipline laughable. And the mothers, believe me, they still do it, but what can I tell you? But the reason is because the fathers aren't stepping up and making the discipline memorable. Let me say that again, because that was a good one. Mothers make discipline laughable. Fathers make discipline memorable. You need to bless your kids. You need to make them remember when dad does something. Now I'm smiling. That was quite funny, actually. Remember! That's a very important point. God is a loving father. We know the Bible clearly says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. He chastens. And then when he's happy with you, he prunes you. Okay, Wendy's laughing. Praise God. As long as my wife's laughing, I'm all right. What does Romans 5 say? It says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. I want to quote this one verse. There used to be a terrible song that was written about this back in the 70s and 80s. I'm sure Paddy and John Walker would know this one. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, do you remember that horrible, I hate this song. It used to go, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us. That we should be called the sons of God. Isn't that pathetic? It is so pathetic. Everybody gets this wussy impression of God. I mean, God, did you get that on camera? You really missed it. Anyway, because it was a one-off. It'll never happen again. Behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. It's amazing. How many of us really understand that? I know I'm getting a glimpse of it after 30 years of serving God. I'm getting a glimpse of what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Ex-drunks and whoremongers. Ex-criminals and drug takers. And he calls us sons of God? It's amazing. When Galatians chapter 3 says in verse 26, you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That is an amazing love. And we need to just keep remembering these things. These are essentials. These are not weak, wussy, greasy grace, this stroking love that everybody thinks comes from God. It isn't. It's a God, it's a love that you can build your life on. It's a love that you can depend on for every day of your life. It's a love that you can give to your wife and give to your children and embrace it with everything you are. That's the kind of love this world needs. Not wussy love. Although that ain't bad from time to time, I guess, when you're feeling a bit down. But if you're feeling down, get up. And the last thing I want to talk about is this, and I'm going to be praying for people tonight. That's why I want to finish early. In Luke 24:49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I want you to hear this. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I send the promise. I promise you, heaven and earth pass away, but my words will not pass away. Therefore, he is sent this promise to each and every one of us. And then he said, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Well, I was in the city of Jerusalem when this scripture was introduced to my life. I was just over 30 years old. Did we get the ideal father finished up there, Daniel? Or is it done? That's all right. Leave it now. Okay. I've been in Jerusalem less than 2 weeks when my ego was challenged again, as it often was. I need someone I can poke. Andy, come here. Someone who's going to wuss on me. So Andy, stand there, mate. Face me. So I came out of church, and this guy, this Canadian guy that we met in Kathmandu that invited us to Jerusalem, wait a minute. He came from Kathmandu with us all the way to London. Then we went over to America, and we hitchhiked around America, and that's when I got born again. And from London, he went to Jerusalem, and that's when he got born again. Then he began to write to us in London and said, come on over, which is the main reason why we went. So when we got there, there was this guy, and he was part of this Pentecostal church. And the leader of the church was a big woman, big, strong Pentecostal preacher, great preacher. And one day, I never forget, she looked at him. Ralph, stand up a second. She looked at him and said, oh, by the way, get him filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, and walked out. I thought, him? Moi? All I had was a poke in the chest. No kind, loving invitation. She didn't even look at me. She was looking at him and poked me. And walked out. Thanks, guys. We've been in Jerusalem for a couple of weeks. It was the coldest winter in 35 years. It was cold. And when you live in those stone houses, everything's cold. Once they go cold, they're cold. Anybody ever live in a stone house? Once cold hits, cold stays. And the tile floor, we had a thin mattress, and we were sleeping on the floor for a month. God, man, that was cold. We got up each day. I don't mean we were there. No, it doesn't matter. And every morning, we would hear this strange noise. We couldn't figure out what it was. We listened and said, are they Arabs praying? We'd listen. Because we were in those stages where Wendy and I would pretty much every morning wake up and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, which is good. If you don't know anything else to do, do that. All right? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You remember that? We used to pray every day. Thank God we did. But these people were praying outside the room, and we didn't have much choice to wake up because prayer meeting started at 6, was it? Or 6:30, whatever it was in the morning. So we'd get out of bed, and we'd stand around with them with one eye open thinking, what the heck are they doing? How did they all learn this Arabic? Well, they weren't praying in Arabic. They were praying in tongues. And in case you don't know, that's what the Bible's talking about. When Jesus said, I will send you the promise of the Father. I will send you the promise of the Father. But tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. That's what he said, Luke 24:49. And what happened is when he ascended, 10 days later, they were in Jerusalem, when suddenly there was a rushing, a sound from heaven, and boom, the Holy Spirit fell on everybody. Who? Everybody. And they had clothed in tongues as fire on their heads. And he said, and they began to speak in tongues. And everybody there at the time, they were proselytes from all around the world. Proselyte in those days, in case you don't know what a proselyte is, a proselyte was somebody who had converted to Judaism from heathenism. And so therefore, everybody there had been converted, which would have included circumcision and all the stuff they had to go through to become a Jew. He said, we can hear them speaking in our own tongue. They were from all over the world. And so a lot of people think that when you speak in tongues, that it's always the tongue of a known language. But later you may remember when Paul said, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, even though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, because there are tongues of men and there are tongues of angels. And also Paul also taught and said, when I speak in tongues, he said, it's better that you prophesy, but when I speak in tongues, no man understands me. No man. So therefore, he's not speaking in a known tongue. He's speaking in an unknown tongue. No man understands me. And this goes on to talk about how we speak in mysteries. And it says, because you're not speaking to man, you're speaking to God. Bob, make sure nobody else comes in and comes to the front. Thanks. They can sit at the back. So I want you to hear this, because I believe the Father wants this promise to come upon those who haven't received it yet. I believe he wants to do it tonight. And that's what I'm going to pray for. So let me say it again. Jesus said, I go and send the promise of the Father. In the book of Isaiah, there's a scripture in Isaiah 28, verse 11, that says, with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. Well, that's what happened to me. With stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people. He said, but they would not. So the stammering lips was my experience. We went back to the kitchen after I'd been poked in the chest, and three or four guys prayed for me, and three or four girls prayed for Wendy, and we're in the kitchen, which is a good place. I mean, that's why I always preach good around food, you know, getting filled with the Holy Ghost in the kitchen. But anyway, it's not the point. So they laid hands on me, and they gave me a few scriptures, I remember. They laid hands on me, and I closed my eyes, and they laid hands on me, and they said, move your lips on me, like that, see? And so I was doing that, and I'm thinking, wow, this is weird. And I was so naive in those days, thank God, I hadn't had years and years and years in church to get confused. Did I say that? Are you laughing at me? Do we know him? And so I took the guy's word for it. He said, that's it. So I said, okay. All right. And the Bible says, but you, beloved, building up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in the Holy Spirit. Paul said at another time, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Another time he said, I believe in 1 Corinthians 14, he said that He who prophesies edifies the church, but he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. So it's like a one-man revival. When you speak in tongues, it's 100% for you. My speaking in tongues doesn't help you one bit, as it happens. Most people, when they come up to pray for people, if they pray in tongues, it's because they're trying to build up their faith before they can pray for you. But that's okay. So that is the reality of it. Paul spoke in the tongue of men and angels. He said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. He says that, when you pray in tongues, you build up your own faith because it lifts your spirit. Because in the spirit, he says, you don't know how to pray as you ought, but the spirit himself prays for you with words that cannot be uttered, with groanings that cannot be uttered. So I just want to give you the quick version of speaking in tongues. The Vineyard believes in all of the gifts of the Spirit. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in prophecy, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. We believe in miracles and healings. We believe in all of that. But the reason I'm going through this is because as I've been reflecting this week and writing down part of the history of our lives, it suddenly occurred to me how much some of you young people are not being touched by God. And some of you older people that have been going to church for a long time are actually, without knowing it, resistant to the Holy Spirit. You're resistant to the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you a closing story that is really not going to make me happy at all. But I promise you'll laugh. How's that? I mean, I bet you even Robin Williams couldn't guarantee that. Because if some people don't like Robin Williams, they won't laugh, right? But this story, you're going to laugh at. Years ago, I was preaching. There used to be a guy, can't think of his name, I can see his face. He was a prophet out of Pennsylvania, David Miner. Anybody know that name? Dave Miner. Pat knows that name, he's the only one. Wow. You do? Do I know you? Are you with him? Or are you with me? Well, Dave Miner was considered the prophet of the Northeast in the 70s and 80s. Hi, Bob. You're waving at me? Somebody go out and slap him, lick his head or something. Lick his head. Go on, Mum, go lick his head. Are you ready for this story? It's going to be quick. I'm going to give you the quick version. So I went to preach in a church that had come out of his church. And Sunday morning, that Sunday, he said, oh, maybe Pastor Miner will have you in his church tonight. I said, oh, no, don't worry, because I was intimidated by this guy, you know. And he said, oh, I'll give him a call. So we called him up and said, oh, bring him over. So I went over there and I preached that night. And I remember standing in the pulpit up here, and his pulpit was a solid one, and I was preaching, and guess what I preached on? God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so I preached on God has not spirit, and at the end of the sermon, I began to stutter. Because I had a vision, an open-eyed vision of me dancing up and down. Now you're tittering, it's too early, we haven't got the laugh yet. And I'm going, of course, you know, and all of us, and the prophet sitting behind me, and he's going, do it, son. I thought, God, he's seen it too. And I'm going, go on, son. Oh, God, I don't want to do it. And I was standing, I'm watching this, and it wouldn't be so bad, I mean, if it was one of them, these are the days of Elijah. You know, one of them pub songs. What? Well, what do you think they are? You know, one of them Pentecostal, yeah, come on, guys. You know, one of them things. No, this was a Nureyev thing. You don't know who Nureyev is? So where were you lot dragged up? So I'm watching it and I'm sweating now. Go on, son. Oh, God, I get out of the pulpit. And I get my hanky out. Because that's what I saw in the vision. Thank God I was 80 pounds lighter in those days. You wasn't there. I was there. And I start to dance all around the floor like this. But 80 pounds better. And I'm leaping, and I'm just dancing like this. And everybody's looking at me. I felt like I was naked in Times Square, you know what I mean? Somebody told me girls have dreams like that. They wake up naked on the beach. And they don't know what to do with their hands. Well, I've told the best thing to do is that. Anyway. That's good advice if you ever have that dream again. Okay. Where are we? Oh, we're leaping and dancing and praising God. That's where we are. Thank God it's scriptural. And I start dancing and prancing. And do you know how many years I played rugby? 19 seasons I played rugby. And you couldn't have made me do that. No matter how much beer you bought me. And after a while of leaping and prancing, just about to leap out the window and run for my life, the Holy Spirit fell in the place. And all the men began to weep. And all the men came forward and God touched them. And all the wives began to weep. You see, guys, I want to say this on Father's Day. Children tend to worship as much as the father does. Children tend to be as free as their father is. Children tend to follow their father. And I want to encourage you people tonight. If you've never actually spoken in tongues, I want to pray for you tonight. But if you haven't spoken in tongues for a long time, I need you to come forward and we need to pray together. We need to get our tongues loose. We need to begin to pray again in the Spirit because we don't know how to pray as we ought. And we need to start praying again. So is there anybody here who has never... This is my challenge to you to get your hanky out. Is there anybody here who's never spoken in tongues before or is very rusty but would like me to pray for you tonight? Who just come forward. Don't hang around. Just come up. Bob, go get me some water, please, mate, will you? My fridge downstairs. Just come up and just all of you, just keep coming. Just maybe line up that way, just stand. Facing me. Line up that way. Facing the front. Just keep coming. I know there's more. Praise God. And also, I would like to take a moment to pray for those who have got rusty. You know, that river of waters, your tongue's got rusty. Come on, who hasn't prayed for a long time in tongues and you want me to pray for you? Come on, guys, who is it? Come on up. Come on up. I want to get your tongue loose. I want to get your tongue loose tonight. Who else is there? I know there's plenty of others. Come on, folks, there's a lot of you who haven't prayed in the Spirit for a long, long time. Did I ever tell about that time the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Vaughn, do you speak in tongues? I said, yes, Lord. He said, do you speak in tongues? Big difference between do you speak in tongues and do you speak in tongues? My question to you tonight, if you do believe in the biblical pattern of praying in the Spirit, I'm asking you, do you pray in the Spirit? Because you need to. We have no idea where our country is going. We have an election this year, which is great. I'm cool. There's not one of the candidates, not a member of Congress, not a member of the Senate that has any idea where we're going as a country. And I'm not saying I do. But the Holy Spirit himself, he knows where we're going. And we need to pray those prayers. So I'd encourage everybody, let's begin to pray those prayers. My last thought, if you don't pray in tongues, please come up. Maybe we sing something quietly that everybody can sing while we're doing this. Folks, just stand in a line straight across, please. Sorry about my shoes. That's it. Go around at the end. Facing me. That's good. That's good, Chris, right there, mate. So let him stay with his wife. Praise God. I need eye contact, please. Thank you, Jesus. Not easy, there's a lot of us, but keep eye contact with me. This is nothing about your neighbor or your spouse. It's all about you and Jesus, okay? First thing I want to say is it's a gift. It's purely a gift. It's called the gifts of the Spirit. So therefore, it's like Christmas Day. When it comes, it's here. So there's nothing you need to do except one thing. There's one qualification. You must know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. And if you know that, I just need a nod of confirmation. Please just give me a nod if you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Praise God. Then trying to keep eye contact with me as much as possible. The Bible says that on the day of Pentecost, they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So therefore, they use their lips, their voice, their tongue, their vocal cords, their diaphragm. So when I speak in tongues, that's my voice. That's my voice. I am doing the speaking, but the Holy Spirit is giving me the utterance. So therefore, it's a case of just yielding to God and cooperating. Now, why am I so confident? The reason I'm so confident is Jesus said, which of you, if your children were to ask for bread, would give them a stone? Or if they was to ask for fish, would you give them a serpent? Or if they asked for eggs, would give them a scorpion? He said, if you then know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will not your whole Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit? So therefore, I am fully confident that He is going to give the Holy Spirit, not stone, not serpents, not scorpions, but the Holy Spirit. And it will manifest in one of its forms, speaking in tongues. I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, and then afterwards I'm going to lay hands on you like it says in the Bible. And you move your lips, you use your voice, you use your diaphragm, and you will speak in tongues through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the baptizer. Jesus is the baptizer. So I want to encourage all of you. Now just close your eyes now for a moment, just as a way of maybe everyone in the congregation, maybe you could also maybe speak quietly in tongues yourself, just quietly, just in an agreement with us. Maybe you just lift your hands a little, just as a sign of yielding to God. And I'm going to pray a prayer of faith, then lay hands on you. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless you and I thank you, Lord, that you said you would pour your Spirit on all flesh. So I thank you, Father, that even as you have promised it and Jesus has sent that promise, we thank you, Lord, that we're going to be able to open our mouths and speak in tongues as the Bible said. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you for it. And we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Just move your lips. Move your lips. Move your lips. They're your lips. Move them. Move your lips. Use your voice. Move your lips. Move your lips. Move your lips. Move your lips. Just do it. Move your lips. Move your lips. Don't stop. Move your lips. Move your lips. Don't stop. Move your lips. Use your voice. Move your lips. Move your lips. Use your voice. Keep your eyes closed. Move your lips. Move your lips. Move your lips. Don't stop. They're your lips, you have to move them. No, you're not. Go on, move your lips. Move your lips, go on. Keep moving your lips. Don't stop. Don't stop. Let's all stand in the congregation and pray in the Spirit just for a minute. Don't stop, Dawn. Just move your lips. Horababa barandara borandara 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 borand
Don't stop.
Thank you, Jesus. Can I just encourage everybody a moment? The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So when the Bible says stir up the gift that is within you, we don't want to just wait until, I don't know, the manifest presence of God because of a corporate anointing. Paul said, also Peter said, I want to stir you up by reminding you that you are now partakers of his divine nature. So therefore, I want to encourage you now that with the gifts of the Spirit that God has given you, to stir them up. Stir them up. I always used to say to people, just take 5 minutes a day. Sit on the end of your bed in the morning. Just close your eyes quietly. Think about Jesus. And just pray in tongues for 5 minutes. If it goes on for an hour, fine, don't stop it. Be late for work. So now I've prayed for you once. Let's just close our eyes one more time. And on the count of three, you are going to stir up the gift that's within you, and you're going to speak in tongues through faith in Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord. One, two, three, go. My eyes to the
Heavenly Father, we want to bless you one more time. Lord, we want to lift our voices up to you. And Lord, we want to not be those who are going to be inhibited anymore by the pressure of embarrassment, by the pressure that this world puts on us of what is correct. But Heavenly Father, we want to be able to bless you. Father, we thank you that you bless us and keep us and cause your face to shine upon us. That you continue to touch us as we yield our members to you. Father, we thank you for this night, because we've chosen to come to you, our King, to receive from you. One more time. Hosanna. Continue to celebrate the joy of the Lord. We thank God for each and every one.